Well, this morning we're wrapping up the book of Acts. I was looking this past week as we talk about Acts chapter 28, how long we've been in the book of Acts. It's been about 35 weeks. So it hasn't been years like it might have felt like, though we could have spent many years in the book of Acts. We're at the very end of the book. So today we finish the book of Acts. While you're turning there, it's Acts 28, verse 23. Turn there in your Bibles or on your phones. While you're turning there, just so you know, this is the last week on Acts. We will be spending the summer in the book of Galatians. Galatians is a letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches in Galatia, which is Asia Minor. If you remember, we went through Paul's first and second missionary journey. He goes through Asia Minor. He then writes the letter to the Galatians sometime during the second or third missionary journey. He writes about the very things we've read about in the book of Acts. So it's a great book to follow up with. Also a good book for our summer. So next week, we'll begin with Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Today, we're wrapping up Acts 28. We're in the 23rd verse. You remember the Apostle Paul is now in Rome. He has called together the leaders of the synagogues in Rome. And now he speaks to them beginning in verse 23. Let me read those words aloud. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this, your word. We thank you that though all things in this world change, your word remains the same. That you remain the same, that you've revealed yourself to us. And so we ask this morning, as we look at this passage, that your spirit would work to apply the word to our hearts. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for your work in the church, by your spirit. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. Well, many of you know that last year, I walked away from coaching volleyball after like 15 years of coaching. I coached in Pennsylvania for four years, coached in Virginia for almost 10 years. And when I walked away from coaching volleyball, I had this long conversation with my family over the course of a year about how to end something well. And we talked about the things that you say and the things that you don't say and the ways that you act and who you need to speak with and how you behave when you're leaving something. And we talked about everything in between. And one of the things that you'll know when you leave something that you've invested a lot of time and energy into is you kind of reflect on the journey. I had never left something that I had invested that much time and energy into, never left it and just kind of walked away. And so it was interesting to reflect on where we had come from. And for you, those of you who have been through this process, you know you reflect on how the beginnings were meager and they were meek and they were small and how we came in with nothing and how we built something and we worked together and it grew and we invested this time and energy and we saw all of these results and these people that we affected and impacted, and we reflect on the distance that we've come. Well, I want to say, as we end the book of Acts and we look at the last few verses of Acts 28, I have to say I'm thankful that that's not the way the book of Acts ends. I'm thankful that as we end the book of Acts in Acts 28, that we don't see the Apostle Paul taking a victory lap and talking about how much he's done and where he's come from and how he started at this point, but he had done so much. And look at all that he had worked to accomplish. What we see at the end of the book of Acts, though, is very different. Acts 28 is really a reflection on how little has changed. On how little has changed in the best way. You see, we finish Acts 28 and we look at the Apostle Paul proclaiming the gospel to the Jews in Rome. It's very much the same as what we saw in Acts chapter 2. When Jesus had left and he had entrusted the apostles with his word and Peter preached at Pentecost. It's the very same message. It's the very same result. It's the very same things that are happening as the message is proclaimed. In the best sense of the word, nothing has changed in 35 years in the book of Acts. So that's what we'll look at this morning. Many of you know the name Charles Hodge. Charles Hodge was a great theologian, a churchman, a pastor. And Charles Hodge was a theologian in the late 1800s. And one time Charles Hodge was asked why he loved Princeton Theological Seminary so much. And he could have said how he loved the academics or the professors, or he loved the beautiful campus or whatever. But Charles Hodge said that his favorite thing about Princeton, that was in all of his time at Princeton, he was so glad that nothing new had ever come from Princeton Theological Seminary. As a matter of fact, the very words that he said was, in all of my time here, nothing new from this seminary has come, and I'm so proud. What he meant by that was that the gospel that was given by the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning of the book of Acts all the way through the Apostle Paul at this last chapter was the same gospel that was proclaimed even to that day at Princeton Theological Seminary, the same one that was taught to their pastors and their professors. And so this morning as we look at this passage, the same message that Peter proclaimed is the same one that Paul proclaimed. It's the same one now entrusted to us. Three things we notice in this passage about the similarities. First of all, it is the same gospel. Look at the first two verses of the text we just read. Beginning in verse 23, when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him in his lodging in great numbers. So they came to hear the apostle Paul speak, but there was many more than he thought would be there. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. You see, the apostle Paul gathered the leaders of the synagogue in Rome, and he spoke to them about something very simple, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke to them about Christ who had lived and died on their behalf. He spoke about the free offer of the gospel that was realized by faith. Now, if you were to flip all the way back to Peter at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, you would hear very, very much the same message. Listen to what Peter says in Acts 2, verse 22. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. See, Peter delivered the same message. Peter preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preaches the gospel in Acts 28. It hasn't changed. It hasn't morphed. There's no improvements that have been done to it. Nothing has been taken away from the message. A few thoughts about that, the same gospel. First of all, it's the same gospel because it's the same problem. Peter had the same problem. Peter's audience had the same problem as Paul and Paul's audience. Same problem that faces you and I today. You see, there are many problems in all societies of the world and all generations. There are problems during Peter and Paul's day of racism and sexism and poverty, lack of pay, hunger. There are problems today with the pandemic, losses of jobs, right? Those are all problems. But the main problem that's addressed by the gospel, the real problem, is the problem of sin. It's the same gospel message because it's the same problem. That problem remains. It always remains. It never changes. And so it's the same gospel message. It's the same gospel message, though, with the same Lord Jesus Christ. That has to be said. The efficacy of the death of Jesus Christ, his payment of the penalty, his satisfying the wrath of God is not something that has been done that waxes and wanes or wears out. Not as if Christ died and after 2,000 years, it's getting a little weak. That there's still more to be done. But the power of the gospel, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, is still as efficacious today as it ever was. And so it's the same gospel message. It will always be the same gospel message. It will always be the same gospel message. Christ has died once for all for the remission of sins, that we might have life. Once for all. The third thing, though, and you can see it in this passage, is it's the same gospel presented in the same way. If you recall your attention back to Pentecost, you remember Peter preaching at Pentecost? He opens up, he begins preaching, and what does he do? He's got like a few of his own lines, and then he goes right to Joel the prophet. And then he's got a few of his own lines, and he goes right to David the psalmist. Most of what Peter says is just taken out of the Old Testament. And if you were a professor of Peter's and you were grading him on speech class 101, you would say, okay, great speech, Peter, but not very original. I give you an F for originality. You stole most of your words from the Old Testament prophets. You could have done with a little bit more of your own words, but that is the best presentation of the gospel. You see what it says about Paul in the passage we read this morning. It says that Paul, in verse 23, was testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. We could take a very simple lesson from Peter and Paul. Our exposition or our sharing of the gospel ought to come from the Word of God. We get ourselves into trouble when we try to do too much of our own thing. The Word of God is living and active. It is piercing and dividing between soul and spirit. What does that mean? It means simply this: your words, they're good words, but they're often just a little bit effective. The Word of God is very different. It pierces to the heart of a man. It divides between the very fine things that we can't see with our eyes. The sin that entangles the heart is divided by the Word of God. And so the Word of God exposes the soul. It opens the heart of man. And so we ought to share the gospel from God's Word. It is the same gospel. The second thing that we see in this passage is it is the same, very same result. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, as Paul is proclaiming the gospel, it says in verse 24, and some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. Some were convinced by what he says, but others disbelieve. Remember back to Pentecost. We're tracing how consistent the message has been. Remember what happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down upon the men, the Christian men who were there. They began proclaiming the word of God in various tongues. And those who were watching said, well, that's terrific. Well, some of them did. They were amazed by what was happening. Others said, well, these guys have been drinking too much wine this morning. They're drunk with wine and they're just spouting nonsense. You see, some believed, some did not. Peter, it says, preached the gospel message and then some repented and were baptized. But if some repented and baptized, others did not by implication. That's what we read in verse 24. See, it's very different than what Luke has been recording in the entire book of Acts. Luke has been recording time after time, Paul preaching, and he says things like, many of them believed, or not a few of them believed, or there were a plurality of, or many of them that believed. But here in this passage, the Greek is a little bit different. The passage actually says, a little bit believed and a little bit didn't. It actually conveys the idea that there is a little bit of them that believed and a little bit that didn't, but that there's some other majority that just kind of didn't do anything. That's what happens when Paul proclaims the message here. You see, when we proclaim the gospel, the result's always the same. There are some who believe and there are some who do not believe. I think that should be an encouragement to Christians for two reasons, right? First of all, if you're preaching the gospel, if you're declaring it with your word and actions, there will be some by the work of the Spirit who will believe the gospel. And oftentimes you may be amazed at how easily they believe the gospel. I think this is definitely true with children. I've thought about this many times. If you've ever shared the gospel with children, you know that you might be like working up your whole list of what you're going to say to them and how you're going to go like from point one to point two and point three, and you're going to follow it up with some catechism questions. And you begin sharing about the gospel, and sometimes children say like, oh yeah, I believe that. I have faith in Jesus. I know that I have sin and that he died for my sin. And you're kind of like, wait, I've got to share the rest of it with you. I prepared this whole speech for you. But the Spirit of God is at work. It doesn't depend upon our actions. The Spirit of God opens the hearts, men, women, and children. And that's encouraging. But the other part of that is just as encouraging, because there will be people you share the gospel with and they will not believe. And that's okay. You see, if there were many who didn't believe Peter and there were many who didn't believe Paul, of course they're not going to believe you. I would imagine Peter and Paul are pretty good at sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many will not believe you. But the encouragement for you is that's okay. The Spirit's not opening their hearts. The Spirit's not working at that moment. The seed may be planted. You find your value, your worth, your affirmation in proclaiming the message of being a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the result, because the results are entrusted to the Spirit of God. So the second thing, first, it's the same gospel. Second, it is the same result. Acts 28, the same result as Acts 2. we should expect the same result for ourselves. Here's the third thing we see. Same gospel, same result. It is the same commission, the same great commission that's given to you and to I. The last part of this passage in Acts 28, if you're following along, Paul preaches the word to the Roman Jews. And then what happens is some believe and some don't. And so Paul begins to share from the prophet Isaiah. Shares from the prophet Isaiah. And he says to those who are listening, listen, the Holy Spirit told us long ago, the Holy Spirit prophesied that you would have ears, but you would not listen. That you would have eyes, but you would not see. That you would not comprehend and understand and move in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have dull hearts. And the Lord God has made it to be so. I would imagine that the audience was probably a little bit upset. Paul didn't mince words here. But listen to what he says following those words of the prophet Isaiah. He says in verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. See, those words in Acts 28 at the end of the book, I believe, tie the entire book together. They tie the entire book together because Paul is there reflecting on the Great Commission. He's reflecting on the Great Commission. If you think about this, at the end of Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them and teaching them all that I've commanded you. And I am with you even unto the end of the age. You see, at Pentecost, Peter did something very similar to that. Peter realized a small manifestation of that. All of those Jews gathered from all around the world, Peter preaches the gospel to. But you see, in Acts 28, we see it coming almost to full fruition, full circle. Here's something I'd like you to notice. I believe this is beautiful. In Matthew 28, as Jesus says, go make disciples of all peoples, the word that's used there for peoples is the Greek word ethnos. Go make disciples of all ethnos. And yeah, you can hear in that ethnicities, all languages, all races, all people everywhere, all different kinds of people. When Paul speaks in Acts 28, it's the same word. It says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the ethnos. They will listen. I believe as Paul uses that word, there's any number of words he could have used. I believe he's calling their attention back to the Great Commission. I believe he's saying, just as Christ Jesus gave us this commission, go and make disciples of all ethnicities, all peoples everywhere. So now I tell you, this salvation has come to all peoples everywhere, all nations and tribes and tongues, all ethnicities, all languages, it has come. Paul was saying to his audience, the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and though you reject him, he will have for himself a people. He's making a people whether you want him or not, whether you like him or not, whether you accept him or not, he's calling to himself a people from all nations. So therefore, this salvation has come to these peoples. And I love how he finishes it, that sentence. See what he says there? The salvation has come to all peoples. They will listen. It's kind of a bold statement, isn't it? They will listen. Not like they can listen or they might listen or I do hope they listen. They will listen. And I believe the power of that statement comes from the Great Commission. Because Jesus Christ said to his disciples, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, not maybe make disciples, or you could make disciples, but go. You will make disciples of all nations because all power has been entrusted to me. Paul says they will listen because he confidently knows that when we go forward, the power of Christ Jesus is the power of all heaven and earth. It has been entrusted to him. Now he goes before us. And so they will listen. My encouragement to you is very simple this morning. The message that was delivered to Peter, that was delivered to Paul and the apostles, that message has been delivered now to the church. First to the apostles and now to us, the church. And so we are those who are to go forth proclaiming the message to all peoples everywhere. Very simple question is this: where are you going? Where are you going, and to whom are you proclaiming the gospel? From whom are you making disciples? Where are the people that you're investing and preaching the gospel and showing them the Lord Jesus? What is the evidence of the work of your hand? Who are those peoples? You see, we can echo with the Apostle Paul. They will listen. Because all power in heaven and earth has been given to our Lord Jesus, and behold, he is with us even unto the end of the age. So I want to encourage you, Mercy Presbyterian Church, it's the same gospel. It'll be the same results because it's the same commission. This commission is now delivered to us. So go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that he has commanded us, because he is with us even into the end of the age. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for the absolute privilege of being together and of worshiping your holy name. And we pray, Lord, that wherever we may be, that whatever we may be doing, that you would direct our hearts to worship you. And we ask, Lord, that as we worship you here this morning, and as we worship you every day from this point forward, that the world around us would look and that they would know that there is a God. That there's a God who has made for himself a people and is making a people. And that as they see and as they wonder, that we would be bold and courageous in our proclamation of your word. It is the same gospel given to Peter and Paul that we now deliver to the world. It is the same result that you are working in hearts. It is the same commission to go into all the world proclaiming this good news. Give us a burden for the hearts of all people that we would share and proclaim and show your love. We love you. We thank you for this time and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made us a people. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.